Friendliness of this place. Love it. All right. So as introduced earlier, my name is Chris, and I work with Connecting Streams, and I am a church planter, which it's kind of a loaded term. We live on mission in our neighborhood, and so I kind of feel like a missionary coming back from the field, and I get to show up here. It feels like a bit of a homecoming, becoming more familiar with your family here, and I can't say thanks enough for the prayer, the support, and just the love that's been, to use a biblical word, lavished on us from this congregation. So thank you. We couldn't do what we do without you. So we just feel incredible love and grace our family from you, and so thank you for that. Let me as I get us started here. Simple truth, but it's amazing. Jesus is good, right? We get to talk about Jesus, and Jesus is worth talking about. And it never gets old to share a witness and share about the moments of God's grace showing up in our lives. Even this week, I've had so many moments of God's grace in my life. Jesus tells us he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. He's always with us. He is for us and not against us. He tells us that we can exchange our failures for his victory at the cross. He has good plans and opportunities and loving promises for all who believe in him. This is good news. This is what we get to share. My son recently has taken up welding, and he goes into grade 12 this year, but he's working as a welder. But his high school welding teacher, just a great man, he encourages him all the time. He says, make your last weld your best one. And I think it's like the perfect posture for approaching an apprenticeship. Make your last weld your best. And it's just this idea of always improving upon the skills that you have. And it's a challenge to me when I think about my faith and my life. Was my last attempt my best? At work, at home, in the community? And this isn't about proving anything. This isn't about pride or ego. It's just this idea of, are we living into the thanks that we have for all God has done for us? We live in a culture that tells us to be individualistic and to try to make something of ourselves, to be self-made people. Yet, God's word reminds us, and I love this, especially right now as I'm working on a project in my backyard. Whatever you produce with your hands, take a look at your hands and remember who gave you your hands. Who made your hands? Everything we do always points us back to God. It points us back to his love and his design for us. And our lives have been designed to live in loving relationship with God, loving relationship with one another, and to care for the creation he made. And discipleship is just learning to live in the way that we were actually created to live. And Jesus perfectly demonstrated what discipleship looks like in his life. And our faith invites us to simultaneously live with a confession of truth and a new life rhythm. Discipleship is full life apprenticeship. Every moment, learning to follow Jesus. I love this description of discipleship. It's discipleship is moving from unbelief to belief in every area of life. Going from unbelief to belief in Jesus in every area of life. And so I hope today to encourage us to trust Jesus with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to increase the anticipation of what he desires to do in, through, and around you. Because as disciples, as apprentices of the kingdom of God, by faith and belief, we get to live for Jesus. And so I pray that we would, in faith, make our next attempt at obeying Jesus and his word our very best one. We're going to look at Luke chapter 5 this morning, and I really appreciate the effort you went to for my fishing sermon. I mean, it's over the top, but I appreciate it. We're going to look at the story of the miraculous catch of fish in Luke chapter 5. If you have your Bible, you can flip there. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we long to see your kingdom come and your will be done in Morinville as it is in heaven. We know that you have called us to follow your son Jesus and to help others do the same. And sometimes we kind of get this, and other times we're overwhelmed or distracted. And forgive us when we're out of step. Remind us of all you've done to save us and give us life to the full. Equip us with courage to trust in your ways and to hold on to your truth. We want to obey and follow you and be amazed at who you are and how you save and restore us. Amen. So Luke chapter 5, this is a great story. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put him out a little from shore. And then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore. They left everything and followed him. I love fishing, and I love fishing stories. But Jesus takes this fishing story to the next level. It's spectacular. My plan is to kind of walk us back through this story, to journey through it, and hopefully invite us to be amazed by Jesus, to increase our anticipation of who he is and what he can do, and challenge us to exercise our trust in him. So this story, historically witnessed, begins one day. It feels like it could be any day. It's just one day. It's not a special day. It's not a celebration. It's not once in a blue moon. It's just an ordinary day. But no day is ordinary when Jesus shows up. People are going about their day. They're working. They're traveling. They're hanging out down by the lake. And it's one of my favorite observations. If you track the life of Jesus in the Gospels, he meets people where they're at. Do you remember the place you were when you first met Jesus? Do you have a place that you go to now, a favorite place where you meet with him and sit with him in his presence and his word? I love building things. I'm building a shed in my backyard right now. And Jesus speaks to me when I'm working on projects, if I'm listening. And it's just simple encouragements. "Chris, I love you. Chris, I love your neighbors." Just little things. Sometimes it's even more simple than that. It's like, "Remember to grab that tool before you head out." Or, "Take a second before you make that cut. I was a carpenter, you know, I get this." And every time I hear his voice, it's exactly what I need in that moment. And on the other hand, when I don't listen to him when I'm working on projects, and sometimes it's halfway in a project, I'll forget to listen. And that's usually when I crack my finger or I bang my head on a board, and it just doesn't go as well. So Jesus goes down and he meets the people where they're at. And he decides he's going to start speaking, and probably, no doubt, he's going to share about his favorite topic, the kingdom of God. And what he says as he's talking about the kingdom of God is so riveting that a crowd begins to gather. And as people gather and gather, the fishermen are on the shore and they're working on their nets. No doubt as they work on their nets, they can hear what's being said. And so as the crowd gets bigger and bigger, Jesus asks, "Can I borrow one of your boats? Can I use the lake to help project my voice to this crowd?" And then he finishes his talk. Coincidentally, maybe, maybe not. He finishes his talk just as they finish cleaning their nets. And then Jesus gives this suggestion. "Why don't we go out fishing together?" Now, there's so many things happening in this moment. In Luke chapter 5, verse 4, it says, first, the first thing that we want to bring our attention is the men are putting their gear away because the best time for fishing is over. This isn't the right time of day to go fishing. The second thing is, as I say, Jesus was a carpenter preacher. He's not a fisherman, and now he's come up with a plan, let's go fishing to commercial fishermen. And thirdly, if you've ever gone fishing, you know how much work it is to get the gear ready and how much more work it is to put the gear away, especially after you've had an unsuccessful trip. And they've just finished cleaning it all up. But something Jesus said in his earlier talk must have resonated with Simon Peter. "Master," he says, "today is not a good day for fishing. Getting all this gear out and getting it dirty again and having to mend it again is not what we want to do right now. But because you say, let's fish. If this kingdom you're talking about is so amazing, if it's as good as advertised, then I want to be a part of it, even if it means going back to work." And so they put out their nets, and the miracle begins. Fish just piling in more and more and more. Have you ever experienced God's favor in your life in a moment? I had this experience fishing one time. It was awesome. I went on a trip up north with some friends. We did a fly-in trip to a lake, and it wasn't hard to be convinced to go because I love fishing, and I love hanging out with my friends. At the time, though, I was the only Christian in this group. And so I really wanted to go. I had a sense that God wanted me to go to share the good news wherever he opened the doors. And it was amazing as I was preparing for this trip. I've never had anything quite like this. It just seemed like God kept putting other believers in my path who would pray for me and bless me on the journey towards this destination. And then when I got there, it was like almost every hook in my tackle box was the right hook. One morning I was fishing, and if you're not a fisher person, whatever, this will probably mean nothing to you. But in one morning, I caught 35 pike over 6 pounds in 3 hours. Best fishing ever. The last pike I caught, I was fishing with my friend's dad, who I've known for decades. And the last pike I caught was a 7-pound pike, about 3 feet. What's 3 feet? And so it was a 3-foot pike, about 7 pounds on the side of the boat, and I lean over the boat to grab it, and the hook falls out of its mouth, and it drops its tail, and it launches over my shoulder, and it lands on my friend's dad in the back of the boat. And he was absolutely startled. And all I heard was this murmur, "Man, they even jump in the boat for you." My friends wouldn't count my catch. We were fishing for a week. They wouldn't count my catch because they said, "God has clearly made it unfair for us." It's amazing to have God's favor upon you. And here's the best part. Every single night of the trip, at about 2 a.m, when everyone had gone to bed, one person would stick around at the campfire and they'd say, "Tell me more about this God." And in different ways, we had different conversations, and it was so amazing because whenever Jesus shows up, amazing things happen. "Jesus, because you say so, I'll let down the nets." Do you notice what was different from the previous night of unsuccessful fishing? The night before, Jesus wasn't in the boat. The conditions were wrong. The location hadn't changed, but now Jesus was in the boat. He was leading them. Everything changes when Jesus picks the spot that you're fishing. Being a Christian in this time and place isn't easy. Talking with people, And making disciples is even more challenging. You might say, we've tried this witness thing before, and it just seems to come up short. I baked a pie, and I brought it over to the neighbors. I got a thank you, but it never opened a door to share the gospel. I've talked with people about how God has improved and helped save my relationships, but it seems like nobody's listening to me. I've been warned at work or at school that I'm not supposed to talk about religious things. The ground and the hearts are hard around us. The awkwardness of talking about Jesus is a real tension. Sometimes people look down on us. They think that we hate them and we hate their lifestyle. We might even think, I only have enough in the tank to survive, just to go to work, come home, and just make it to another day. There's lots of reasons to put your nets away. But church family, I believe right here, right now, and this is what God has put on my heart and I'm sharing with you, Jesus is asking us one more time, in the very place that he has put you, in the very place where he meets with you, will you put your boats back out? One more time, will you push into the deep waters and let down your nets? Jesus is in the boat. He wants you to join him and see what he can do. Together, will you let Jesus lead and trust him one more time as he picks the fishing spot? And you can imagine in this moment with the disciples, the hooting and the hollering, the joy as the first fish and the next fish and the next fish come into the net. And the nets get heavier and heavier, and then the joy and the excitement turns into panic. Hang on, we're sinking. John and James, get your boat over here. We need help with these nets. They're so heavy. The second boat arrives, and now they're laughing again, and they're hooting, and they're hollering again, and the cheering comes up. And notice, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whose boat and whose net catches the fish. It could be the church down the street. It could be the home group up the road. It could be a Deeper Life weekend. It could be a soul care. It could be a summer camp. It could be a Newcomers to Canada group, a prison ministry, a widow mentorship. Everyone celebrates when the nets get filled. Everybody shares in the joy and the work of the catch. And I believe this passage perfectly demonstrates what happens when we trust in Jesus, because he is amazing and incredible things happen when we follow his words. The joy, the excitement, the astonishment when we see who Jesus really is. And in Luke 5:8, it's this amazing moment where the hollering turns into hauling in fish. And right there, Peter has this revelation, and he sees who Jesus is, at least a glimpse of who Jesus is. And as soon as he sees who Jesus is, he right away recognizes who he is. And in verse 8, he says, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. Have you thought of this? I'm not sure where he wants Jesus to go. They're in a boat. Where does he want Jesus to go? And I wonder if Jesus was thinking, Peter, I'm not getting out of this boat. One day you'll get out of a boat and come to me, but I never walk away from my followers. I always walk to them. I'm always with them. I never leave them. I never forsake them. And Peter and the others, they're completely astonished. I would say they were overwhelmed because of this miraculous catch. Logically, it makes no sense. From an earthly perspective, this is impossible. But for Jesus, nothing is impossible. Jesus being there is the only reason this story makes sense. Without him, this couldn't have happened. Peter recognizes that the only thing that makes the catch of fish astonishing is Jesus. And so he's overwhelmed into this posture of humility to let the carpenter preacher teach him how to fish. A self-awareness that he is in the boat with someone far greater than himself. Jesus, as Jesus often does, he takes this moment of Peter's humility and this miracle, and he turns it into a teaching opportunity. The trust he has deposited through the miracle, he's now going to cash as a challenge to the fishermen. Will you act in obedience and trust? Remember the laughter as the fish piled in. Remember the hollering as the nets filled up. Remember the work and the sweat of pulling in the nets. Remember, it took multiple boats working together, too much for one boat. Remember, it was Jesus who picked the time and the place to fish, and he was the catalyst of the whole thing. That's what it'll be like for people who share the good news of Jesus and his favorite topic, the kingdom of God. Just like these men were mentored, probably by their families, for generation to generation about how to go fishing, now they will learn from Jesus how to fish for people. And if Jesus is as good at fishing as a carpenter preacher, imagine how good he is at his own trade, saving and making disciples. This past year, I was asked by a group of young adults to show them some ministry opportunities around Edmonton. And just being honest, the day was going rough. We went to these different ministries, and I was really hoping for a chance for them to participate in things, and we ended up just sitting and being kind of lectured on what they do, and we didn't get to roll up our sleeves. They were feeling discouraged, I was discouraged, and the last thing we did was we went downtown Edmonton for a prayer walk. And so as we got there, I had no idea what to expect. I was nervous. Most of the group was young ladies, and we were going into some interesting neighborhoods. And so we prayed for protection, and we prayed that Jesus would give us his eyes to see things his kingdom way. And we set off into two different groups. And I remember internally just praying this, like, Jesus, if you don't show up, like, this whole day is kind of a waste of time. Like, we need you to show up. You're the only one who can make something happen here. And I was requesting that, but I was also fearful, like, what if it just ends the way it does? About a block away, one of the young ladies turns and looks at me, and she says, so how do we pray walk anyways? And I was like, oh, I didn't even explain how to do this. And so I said, well, it's simple. We just walk and talk. And if we see something that just kind of pops into our, like we just notice something, assume that God had you notice that. And then just pray about it. Pray out loud whatever comes to mind. The rest of us will say amen when you're done, and then we'll just keep walking and talking. And she's like, okay, well, that's easy. But she's like, I want to pray for that guy who walked by us. He was probably a block away already. And he'd look like he'd been homeless and living rough. I said, great, pray for him. So just whatever came to mind, she prayed for this man that had walked by and kind of for people who are living homeless in general. And she said, amen, and we kept walking. And we get a little further, and we start to turn the corner to come up the next block. And we're just behind the Rogers Place Arena type area. And all of a sudden, from behind us, we hear this yell, hey, wait up! From about two or three blocks away, this guy had chased us down. And he comes around the corner, and he says, I need your help. I was sitting with a group of guys, and they're starting to do drugs, and I don't want to get caught up in that lifestyle. Could you point me towards the Hope Mission? I need to find some people who will really care for me. It's just amazing, right? So we told him the directions, and we told him where he could find Hope Mission, and then we said, this might sound a little strange to you, but we came downtown just to walk around and pray. Could we be so bold as to pray for you? Oh, I'd love that, he says. And then he just opens up, and he starts sharing us deep personal things that are going on in his family and in his life that he wanted prayer for. And so we prayed for him. And he put his hands up, actually, and he grabbed onto some hands of the people in our group. And we just prayed in a circle for this guy in the corner. And then at the end, when we kind of finished our prayer, he just adds in, and Jesus, keep me away from drugs. And we all said, amen. And he went on his way. This young lady was so encouraged. And only Jesus could prompt her to say, pray for this guy. And then Jesus prompts him, hey, that group that you just walked past, they can help you. Run back and ask them for help. And we sat there, and we were all encouraged because we got to help her pull this net up on the side of the boat and pray for this guy. His name was Glenn. It's just awesome. Jesus has everything you need to learn how to make disciples, learning apprentices who follow Jesus. How he's wired you, the story he's given you, those are things he's he's given you to share about his saving love in your life. Where has Jesus placed you to fish for people? Where do you live? Where do you work? Where do you hang out or go to school? Jesus is in those places already. He picked the fishing spot. Will you join him? Will you put your boats out one more time and just pray, Jesus, you're in the boat. You're calling me to put my nets out. You pick the fishing spot. In humility and obedience, will we let Jesus lead us right where we're at and teach us to fish for people? And what if we trust Jesus because of who Jesus is and because of what his word says? Not because the conditions look any better, not because the world around us seems any easier to share the gospel in. People might be interested in everything but Jesus, but here's the truth. Jesus is interested in them. So where Jesus is, amazing things happen, and he invites us to join him right where we're at. Amen. I think we have a special music or a music here to invite Carol Owens up.
As a music leader, it's kind of awesome to see as I pray through the week leading up and reading the scripture and, okay, God, what songs do you want? And I shouldn't be amazed because God is God and he's going to do it. But I'm always amazed at the songs that he'll lead me to use. And this next one, I'm going, whoa, that's cool. So anyways, please stand as we sing this next song in response.
Allow me to close this morning with a blessing. And I think there's a song after this. I'm going to invite you to stand for a blessing. I know it's up, down, but it's good for the heart rate, I think. Somorinville Alliance Church, may you be blessed with the courage to push your boats out again. May Jesus fill your nets in your home, at work, in your church family, so that you will need more and more hands to do the work that he has invited you to do with him. May the places you live, work, and play be filled with the sounds of laughter, hooting and hollering as people come to trust in Jesus, and together you live out his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I pray that the next story of Jesus will be the best story that you get to share, because he is the center of it all. Amen.
Please stay standing for this last song.